Hello, this is Reverend Urban speaking, and I'm so happy to greet you today. I don't know precisely what day of the week it is, but it's good to greet you. And these fall days are, as we indicated last week, are certainly marvelous to behold and a joy that God has given us, and we thank Him so much for it, for them. We know that, or we feel very confident anyway, that God has been good to you this past week. And even though troubles and low spirit may have been your lot for a time, we know that when you turn to God in prayer and in trust, that He came and strengthened you and guided you. That's the experience of those who love Him and those who depend on Him. And we know that you've done that. We pray that you will have the courage and the strength to place your lives in His hands for the days ahead. That's something we all must do. We found how He's led us in the past, and it's kind of amazing that we sometimes have so little faith about how He will guide us in the future. So it is we give praise to such a wondrous God and rejoice that He has called us to be one of His. And out of His love, we feel very sure that He is going to bless you very richly this week. Now let me invite the children, the boys and girls, the kids, and all assortments of people to come. Wow. Almost inundated here, but we'll manage. Always room for one more, or two more if there's, or three. Yeah, here comes another one. That's good. Well, how are all of you this morning? You happy this morning? Let me see if you are. One or two, about two smiles. Gee, if you're all happy, you all ought to be smiling, hadn't you? Can you do that? Well, maybe it's not that kind of a morning. Today we're going to have communion. And communion is a very mysterious kind of thing for many people. But the reason we do it is because Jesus, when He was sitting in the upper room with His disciples one night, just before He was to die, did this, ate a meal with His disciples, and He said, "Now, I want you to continue to do this, and every time you do it, remember Me." And we have just a little cup of grape juice and a little piece of bread that we use today, but these little bits remind us that Jesus is present. Well, how can a little bit of grape juice and a little bit of bread remind us of someone as important and as wonderful as Jesus? Well, how many of you have ever gone out trick-or-treating? Oh, everybody has. Well, people out there have. Did you put on a mask or put on a costume? That's kind of fun, isn't it? And did anybody have a hard time recognizing you? Did anybody guess who you were? Well, I went to a masquerade party one night where people dress up in funny costumes, and there was several people there that I didn't know. And I kind of studied and looked at them, and finally one person, a man who I didn't know, or did know, but couldn't figure out who he was, finally walked across the room. And when I saw him walk, I recognized him by his walk. And so we can realize that things or people are present, even if we don't, you know, really know it, and even if they're hidden somewhat, through some kind of thing that we know. And Jesus knew, Jesus said, for us to do this in remembrance of Him, and He would be present. How many times have you ever looked out the window when you were expecting maybe grandfather and grandmother to come and say, oh, there they are now, at least it looks like their car? Have you done something like that? You see, somebody, we don't have to see somebody directly to know that they're present with us. We can see signs that people are with us. And so this little bit of grape juice and bread is a sign that Jesus is with us this morning. Thank you for coming this morning. Let us now join in our period of prayer and our time of seeking to communicate our spirits and our essential selves with God and His Spirit. On this Communion Sunday, we, of course, want to know about your prayer concerns, and if you have one or more, would you just lift your hand that we can see those people and those concerns. And perhaps there's someone who wants to share a particular kind of concern with us, and we invite you to do so at this time if you are so moved. Okay, that wasn't a prayer concern, that was one of our delightful children, and isn't that wonderful that we welcome our children to services like this. Let us be in a spirit of prayer. Almighty God, ever present, ever living with us, yet resident in the farthest reach of the universe, and at home in the wind that blows, the sun that shines, and the seasons that come and go. We come to you not because we deserve to, nor because we are needy, but because you ask us to come. Your Spirit seeks our restless spirits and yearns for unity and relationship. How that can be, why it is, we do not know, but our faith tells us that it is true. We pray that you will search for us until you find us, that you will reach out for us until we grasp your hand, and that you will love us until we at last come to love you. We worship you, we give honor and praise to your name, and we submit ourselves to you. Teach us to appreciate your grace and goodness until we are overcome with thanksgiving, until we sense and feel the magnitude of your love and grace. Life itself is a gift to us. Help us to be thankful for that, and give us power to live it for your glory. Energy and strength are gifts to us from you. As we expend them in the work we do, the leisure which recreates us, help us to be grateful. The mind we have is your gift. Let us, as we plan our days, enrich our lives through imagination, create the joys and overcome the pains, and as we are inspired by the mind's upward reach, be thankful to you for such a gift. Human love and affection, these too are gifts of yours. And as we are enriched and nurtured by others, let us be grateful. And your Son, Jesus Christ, we know him to be your greatest gift to us. May we respond to him in faith and trust and be thankful to him, your gift to us. Give us one more thing, a grateful heart. We, Lord God, have varying degrees of willingness to respond and to alter our lives as we respond in dedication to your love and to your healing power, as it is mediated to us not only through this sacrament, but in all that we do. But let there be someone here today with the heart open to your word and the courage to say yes to you. Let us all examine our commitments and move off dead center to a renewal of our vows and the offering of new ones. Listen now, Lord, to our intercessions which come from our hearts. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Organizationally to any of its surrounding neighbors. It's well ahead of any other country or province into which Jesus was had the opportunity to move. It was what we would say today, a privileged nation. And yet when its people encountered Jesus, they said, pray him to depart out of our coast. Why should this be? To understand why this courteous rejection of Jesus by this cultured city-state, let us turn briefly to history. Gerasa was a well-planned city and was the hub of this prosperous province. The city had been planned to expedite traffic patterns. Municipal, commercial, and religious and residential buildings were all systematically located. And the area outside surrounding the city of Gerasa was zoned so that the best possible use of the land could be made. And the result was a centrally located urban center surrounded by a pattern of magnificent orchards, rich grain fields, and pastures which were all watered by quite an intricate watering system. Not only so, the Gadarenes were recipients of a rich cultural heritage. The city was founded by the Greeks, and it continued to exist long after the Greeks had departed. At the time Jesus ventured into the country, it was wealthy, proud, and could make the claim that it had achieved the good life. Nevertheless, it was in this country that Jesus found a man, Legion, who was chained to a tomb beside the sea. The narrative describes him as being a demoniac, of being possessed of the devil. And however we want to interpret that, it certainly appears that he had a very severe mental and emotional disorder. And the sad thing, the surprising thing is that here in this advanced culture, a human being with real problems was treated with force, chained to a tomb of all things. And I think here is demonstrated the continuing truth that men apply more ingenuity to solving technical problems than they do to meeting human needs. Legion, in this case, was healed of the shattered mind by our Lord. And in the process, the evil spirit, it was believed, entered into a herd of pigs, which immediately ran over the cliff into the sea and were drowned. And the swine keeper immediately ran into the city and complained to the authorities. And very soon, several people representing various aspects of the religious and cultural and commercial life came to the coast to see what had happened. And Mark says that when they saw Legion with a sound mind and conversing with Jesus, they were frightened and began to pray Jesus to depart from their country. So here we have a culturally superior and economically prosperous people who were the center of activity in their world, politely but firmly asking Jesus to leave. They were courteous, but their rejection of our Lord was unmistakable. And Jesus left as requested, and so far as we know, he never again passed that way. The Gadarenes' first encounter with the Prince of Life was to be their last. And he who had the words of eternal life was turned out from their midst. The reason for this, I believe, was that they saw in Jesus a challenge to their way of life. What happened was that they cared for the grand life. Jesus cared for people. Jesus focused always on human need. They cared about their culture, their material wealth, the important matters. They grasped quite quickly that to accept this Jesus into their lives and to their country would force them to do some adjustment of their personal and their national priorities. And hence they made a decision. Jesus, you're to leave. This event in the life of Jesus, I think, has much to say to us. For we too think we are culturally advanced and technologically superior. And we are. We like to think that the American way of life is the best, and it may well be, by some standards. But the important thing is, have we, like the Gadarenes, become more enamored with a way of life than with people? Isn't something amiss with us when our productive construction industry, for example, produces houses that cost, what, $45,000 to $50,000? And the typical wage earner can only afford one costing $20,000, perhaps? Isn't there something severely and greatly amiss when medical science has become so expensive that only the rich or the near rich can afford it and benefit from it? Isn't there something terribly amiss when there are people sitting in this very auditorium who do not get regular medical care because of its cost? Isn't there something terribly amiss when interest rates soar so high that individuals and small businesses cannot afford to borrow money to get ahead to improve their estate? The prospects of what will soon happen if Proposition 13 philosophy sweeps the country is chilling and frightening, and every Christian ought to rise up in indignation. The death of countless numbers of human services will happen, and the already gigantic problem of human misery in our nation will increase many, many fold. What a price in human resources we will pay so that the middle class and the rich can keep a few extra dollars in their pockets. It's possible that we are sacrificing the interests of people to satisfy the demands of those who control our good life. Let's illustrate this a little further. In the area of foreign affairs, a similar story can be told. Way back in 1947 and 48, the United States played a leading role in drafting the UN Declaration of Human Rights. The document called upon nations individually and collectively to outlaw the international slave trade, child labor, the denial of rights of women, genocide, and so forth. Yet to this day, some 30 years later, the United States has not ratified this Declaration of Human Rights. But in the same 30 plus years, we have entered into more than 40 defense and mutual protection pacts. We are the one leading nation that has not ratified a treaty upholding the rights of people. But we've not been hesitant to support regimes and governments that often reject and deny to their own people basic and decent human rights. Have we as a nation become more interested in supporting systems than we are in improving the lot of people? It does seem likely that in a period of unprecedented technological and material growth, we find ourselves very much like the Gadarenes. They were more interested in a way of life than in the welfare of the individual person. But the more penetrating question is, are we like the sophisticated Gadarenes in the process of politely, but firmly, excluding the Prince of Life and his teachings from our way of life? Just a footnote on the Gadarenes. By 200 AD, the once magnificent city-state was only a site for archaeological study. The proud country was drastically changed. The exact cause has been lost to history, probably. Some believe the cause was a massive earthquake. Others believe that the upper air currents shifted and denied the area needed moisture. Still others claim that invaders captured and destroyed the city. Still others claim that the citizens lost sense of what was really what ought to be have been priority items. They were more interested in how big their bank accounts were, how much they could save at the expense of the cast outs and the dispossessed. They were more interested in big cars and big houses than they were in people. Whatever the reason for the demise of Gerasa, the fact remains that this people once had a chance to accept and to follow Christ in an unprecedented and a unique manner. But their pride, their self-interest, kept them from fulfilling a higher destiny. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we have shared together in this act of worship and praise, as we've heard the ancient word read, as we've shared hymns, prayer together, our prayer further is that you will speak to us, giving us ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and wills to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.